Speaking on this program is Curtis Cates.
This afternoon, for a few minutes, what is the future? Where do we go from here as far as the restoration movement is concerned? I want you to turn to Ezekiel chapter 13. I would say that the future is up to you and me. The future is up to us in the local congregations. We have numerous congregations here represented here, and I want to notice an area that I feel hasn't been dealt with heretofore, and then kind of fit this in to what we've heard already, and then we'll go forward to continue the restoration movement. And my friends, what we're not restoring the restoration, as we said earlier, we're restoring first century Christianity. And that's what restoration is all about. Let me give you the background of Ezekiel. You remember how that God's people, the Israelites, grew up as a nation in Egypt. They came out of Egypt with God's high hand without firing a shot, as it were. And they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. They went into the promised land. They divided the land. They took the soft underbelly there, Jericho, then Ai, divided north and south. They conquered one end and then conquered the other. They took over the Canaan land. They lived there during the time of Judges after Joshua died and the other elders. And they did that which was right in their own eyes. And after a while, you remember that God had to send the enemy in. And then he sent deliverers when they would repent. But every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Then eventually they started crying out for a king. We want to be like the nations round about us. God permitted them to have a king. You remember the United Kingdom, Saul, David, and Solomon were the kings of the United Kingdom, 120 years, 40 years of peace. After that time, God divided the nation of Israel. Why? Because of the stupidity and other materialism and immorality of Solomon. And we find that it was divided into the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. The northern kingdom was under Jeroboam, and the kingdom was called Israel. It lasted 250 years. The southern kingdom was the rightful kingdom. It had basically two tribes, if strictly speaking, two and a half. And it was under Rehoboam and then Abijah and Jehoshaphat on down the line until we came to the time of their captivity. The northern kingdom was taken in 721 into Assyrian captivity. The southern kingdom, after approximately 400 years, was taken into Babylonian captivity. You had the first carrying away under Nebuchadnezzar in 605-606 B.C. You had the second carrying away in the time of Nebuchadnezzar in 597 B.C., and then the third carrying away in 586 B.C. Now, in the first carrying away, you had Daniel and Hananiah, Mishael and Azariah, their Hebrew names, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, their idolatrous Babylonian names. Of course, Daniel was called Belteshazzar, Babylonian name. After he got over there, they were renamed idolatrous name to get their minds off of God. But these men were taken to Babylon in 605 B.C. You remember how that they were put in college for 3 years, schooled in Babylon. They had been made eunuchs in Babylon in fulfillment of Isaiah chapter 39. But then after 3 years, they were put into the palace of the king to serve before him, and Daniel became prime minister of Babylon. Then in 597, he was God's preacher in Babylon. In 597, the second carrying away took place under Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar came in and he took all of the skilled artisans, the craftsmen, and took them to Babylon and others to Babylon, including Ezekiel the priest. Now that's whom we're speaking of now. And so, during the time of the Babylonian captivity, we had three of God's preachers. Daniel was the preacher in the palace of the king of Babylon. Ezekiel was God's preacher among the captives by the river Chebar. And Jeremiah was God's preacher in the homeland until God's people were carried into captivity in 586, the rest of them, and the city of Babylon was destroyed. Now, in between 597 and 586, Ezekiel was in Babylon, but he was prophesying about Jerusalem and the southern kingdom back over there. And he was pleading for them to repent. And he said, you repent And it may be that God will change his mind and you won't even be brought to Babylon. But my friends, when he and also Jeremiah, who was prophesying that in the southern kingdom over there, when Jeremiah went through the city of Babylon, of Jerusalem, he had a yoke upon his neck. Why? Because God told him, you show the people by object lesson what I'm going to do to them. Here was this yoke, wooden yoke. He went through the city saying, this is what God is going to do to this people. Well, there was a false prophet who came up and he took that yoke off the neck of Jeremiah and he said, wait a minute, we're not going to Babylon. Indeed, even those who are already over there are going to be returned in 2 years. And he took that wooden yoke and he broke it. He said, the yoke is going to be broken. The yoke of Babylon upon my people, or God's people. Jeremiah went back to God and he said, God, here's what's happened. God said, you get you an iron yoke. And you wear that through the thing. Let's see that dude break that. Now let me tell you something. When it got to that point, you could forget turning it around because they had gone too far. Now in Ezekiel's preaching at this time, he warns about false teachers. And let me tell you something. You and I can determine the future of the restoration movement by what our attitude is toward false teachers. And I'm talking about as gospel preachers. I'm talking about elders in the Lord's church and every member, brethren. And if they bring in false teachers in the congregation where you are, you may not be an elder. You may not be a preacher. But let me tell you something. You have the responsibility for standing up for the truth of God.
Amen.
Who said the house of Chloe was an eldership and a preacher and so forth. And so, my friends, stand for the truth where you are. And don't wait on somebody else to do it. Brother, we got too many people waiting around upon help, and the help never comes. Put your bucket down where you are. But notice the characteristic of false teachers. You and I are going to have to be able to recognize them, brethren. Let's see about their tactics and characteristics. And the Lord, word of the Jehovah, came unto me saying, Son of man, I'd like to say that Ezekiel is most like the Son of God, most nearly like the Son of God of any of the prophets in the Old Testament. That Son of man kind of reminds you of our Lord, doesn't it? Son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel that prophesy and say, thou unto them that prophesy out of their own heart, hear ye the word of the Lord. Characteristic number one of false prophets. They prophesy out of their own hearts. My friends, when a preacher will not get up and give a thus saith the Lord for what he preaches, you better keep your eye on that bird.
Amen.
And elders, you let that man know, we want a man to preach the truth here. We want a man that'll give evidence for what he says. And if you can't give the evidence, we'll get somebody who will give the evidence. They prophesy falsely. Why? They prophesy out of their own heart. Now let me tell you something. Brother Rice is not going to save the world by prophesying out of his own heart. Why go over there to China to carry something over there that he has prophesied out of his own heart? That's not going to help him. Why, those people can prophesy their own hearts. They need the truth of God, just like the neighbor down the street who's going to be lost if he doesn't hear it. Hear ye the word of the Lord. They say, hear ye the word of the Lord, but it's not the word of the Lord, folks. They don't give you book, chapter, verse. It's not the old Jerusalem gospel. Number two characteristic. Thus saith the Lord Jehovah, woe unto the foolish prophets that follow their own spirits and have seen nothing. They claimed, Ezekiel said, to prophesy what they have received from God. But they haven't received that from God. What did he call them? Fools. You ever notice the word fool in the Old Testament? Let me tell you some of the people it's connected with. It's connected with atheists. Psalm 14, verse 1. It's connected with immoral people. And here's a false teacher who claims to be speaking for God, but he's no more speaking for God than my dog in the backyard. God calls him a fool. A fool. Characteristic number 3. O Israel, thy prophets have been like foxes in the waste places. Let me tell you something. After hearing these lessons that you've heard and that I've heard, I think that each one of us is aware that there are problems in the church of the Lord. I think that each one of us would be naive not to recognize that there are certain congregations that have real problems. And let me tell you something. There are some people who are false teachers like foxes out here who are just waiting to get in and take advantage of the weak situations in some of these congregations. What do those foxes do? Foxes like ruins. They like decaying places. And they'll come in and they'll bore under and they'll exacerbate an already terrible deteriorating condition and make it much worse. They are sneaky rascals who sneak in underhanded and they undermine what's there. And let me tell you something. They don't want you to know they're doing that. They do it underhanded. And I would say this, brethren. You watch out what's going along in congregations where you are. How many congregations have I seen where there was a move even within the congregation to divide the congregation and to separate one group of people from another group of people from another one from another one? They don't consult the elders about it. They don't try to let people know what all is going on, and not everybody's invited to these things. What are they trying to do? They're trying to divide the congregation. My friends, we don't need any of that rot. These foxes go in and they undermine and they destroy it. And that's one of the terrible things about the Crossroads Cult.
Amen.
They go in and they try to get the young people. And they try to undermine the authority of the eldership. And my friends, pretty soon you have a congregation either gone crossroads totally or split. And somebody's going to have to give an account both in the cult and in the congregation where it happens.
Amen.
Elders, watch over the flock. And you make sure that this doesn't take place in your place. Characteristic number 4. Ye have not gone up into the gaps, neither built up the wall for the house of Israel to stand in the battle in the day of Jehovah. Now let me tell you what this means. Back there they would have on a tail or a hill, T-double-L, they would have this city built. They would have a wall around this city up high so that they could protect themselves from the enemy. They could see them for a long way off and they had the advantage. You remember how advantageous the hills were in the war in Vietnam? Hills are strategic places. But here's the wall, and it's deteriorating. It had cracks here and cracks there. And my friends, the urging was for the people in that city to go up to that wall and fill in the gaps with huge boulders and then take tempered concrete and cement that up and then whitewash it to make it look like the rest of the wall, and there's never been anything there. But these false teachers are not going to do that. Here's a congregation that has problems. It needs to be strengthened. But my friends, false teachers aren't going to strengthen it. They're going to make it worse. But the day of the Lord is coming. And that's what Ezekiel said. Characteristics number 6. 5. They have seen falsehood and lying divination that saith, Jehovah saith, but Jehovah hath not sent them. Have you ever seen a false teacher who blew his horn and said, let me have your attention. I'm a false teacher. Can't you see that badge right there that says false teacher? Now, you've never seen anything like that. Has Rural Lemons ever told anybody he speaks out of both sides of his mouth?
But he does.
Absolutely.
Has James Bales ever told anybody that he teaches heresy on the marriage question?
But he does.
My friends, you're not going to have false teachers to come up and warn you and say, now I'm a false teacher. Every one of these people is going to say to you, what I'm teaching you is true, and you can depend on it. Now, they're not going to make sense when they teach you, if you look at the book and examine the book. When you do like the Bereans, and you search the scriptures to see if the things being taught you are true, you're not going to find these doctrines in there. But my friends, they'll claim to be teaching the truth on it. And let me tell you something, those who teach the opposite from what they're teaching are going to be knuckleheads and rascals. You just listen to it. Number six. They have made men to hope that their word would be confirmed. What did these people do? I'll tell you what they did. When there was a gap in the wall, you know how they'd do it? They'd go up here and they'd put huge boulders in there. And they'd mix up some mortar. And they fill that thing with mortar. But it wasn't tempered mortar. It was untempered mortar. And then they would whitewash it, and it would look just like the rest of the wall. Oh, it had a good appearance. But my friends, they would make men to hope that when the enemy comes, and when the storm beats against that wall, that untempered mortar would help. And let me tell you, if I follow a false teacher and then have to stand before the judgment day or have a crisis to come, you know what I'm going to hope? I'm going to hope against hope that that false teacher is somehow correct. If I fall for somebody who says that I can have as many divorces unscriptural as I want to and still be pleasing to God in an additional marriage, I really am going to spend the rest of my life hoping against hope that they are really right. But my friends, we'll still be judged by the Word.
Amen.
The Word will judge us in the last day. Number seven. Have you not seen a lying vision? Have you not spoken a lying divination? In that ye saith, Jehovah saith, albeit I have not spoken. Don't blame it on me, brother. No, sir. You'll have to take the responsibility for yourself. You are the blind leading the blind. Don't misuse my name and connect it with it. Let me tell you something. I studied neo-orthodoxy, crisis theology, existentialism. It's nothing but warmed over atheism. You know what they do? They quote scriptures about as much as anybody else, but they don't believe them. They talk about the resurrection of Christ. They even talk about pericope. But they have the resurrection of Christ here. But you know what they talk about? They don't believe Christ came out of the grave. You know what they're talking about? If this story about Christ in the Bible encourages you, though he was a mere man, oh, if it helps you to live and you feel better, let me tell you something. Christ is resurrected in your life. Oh, some of these false teachers can quote scriptures, but you better ask them what they mean by those scriptures. Yes, sir. Number eight, because ye have spoken lies, God said, and seen lies, falsehood and seen lies, therefore I am against you, saith Jehovah. I'm against you. My friends, when a person gets up here in this pulpit and preaches false doctrine, he's the enemy of the Lord. And the Lord is against him. Now what if I fall for what he's saying and follow him? You think he's going to be pleased with me? He's going to be against me just like he is that false teacher. Number nine, in my hand shall be against the prophets that false visions and divine lies. They shall not be in the council of my people, neither shall they be written in the writing of the children of Israel. When the children of Israel were taken to Babylonian captivity, the people are named, the prophets and so forth. But my friends, those who returned after they were taken to Babylon, those who returned to Israel in 70 years, they did not include the names of the false teachers. And my friends, when the judgment bar takes place and the saved's names are called out of the Lamb's Book of Life, the false teachers and the people who followed them will not be there.
Amen.
Now, that's not about it, brethren. That's it. That's just exactly it. And I might say that the elders who allow the false teachers to teach will not be there. Because number 10, they have seduced my people. That's underhanded, sneaky action. You better watch a sneak. Even because they have seduced my people, saying, Shalom, peace. And there is no peace. Haven't we heard something in this lecture already about people saying, oh, there's no problem in the brotherhood. And when one builded it up a wall, behold, they daub it with untempered mortar, untempered cement. And say unto them that daub it with untempered mortar, Ezekiel, that it shall fall. There shall be an overflowing shower. And ye, O great hailstone, shall fall, and a stormy wind shall rend that wall. And lo, when the wall is fallen, then shall it be said, where is the daubing? Where's the mortar wherewith ye have daubed it? Now, brethren, I determined a long time ago. I've been preaching 27 years. I determined before I started preaching that there would not be ever a person who would be able to stand in the judgment and say, Brother Cates, here the wall is full. And I am giving an account of the way I have lived. And you have taught me false doctrine so that I am not prepared to be judged on this occasion. My friends, there's not a person going to be able to stand before God in the day of judgment if I can help it, and I'm trying my best to, who said, Brother Cates, you didn't preach me the truth, and you didn't take a stand for right and for the word. I don't care who it displeases. I'm going to preach the truth. Just like the Bible says. It's not worth it to lose my soul, not to, brethren. But, Brother Ezekiel, what kind of person is a true prophet? There are several characteristics in closing I want to notice about a true prophet. Brother Ezekiel began prophesying, age 30. He descended from the priests, from Levi, from Aaron, and he was a priest. He was of the priestly family. He began prophesying the year that priests began serving. And did you know that he was permitted in chapter 1 of Ezekiel to see the throne of God? And he saw those wheels within the wheels upholding the throne of God. And the angels, cherubim and the seraphim. Those are what those wheels are there. The movement in those wheels. And did you know that he was amazed at that and he fell before the throne of God? It reminds me in Isaiah chapter 6 when Isaiah lifted up his eyes and said, I saw the throne of the Lord high and lifted up. And his train filled the temple. And I said, woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips. My friends, that's the kind of awe that you and I who respect and honor the Bible and obey the words of the Bible will have with our Holy Father and Creator, We will be in awe of His majesty and in His, of His splendor. And then, my friends, in addition to that, Isaiah said, woe is me, when we see the glory of God, how inadequate we see ourselves as being. Ourselves. And so we humble ourselves before God, and we say, God, help me. Bible says that one of the angels went and took the tongs and took a coal from off the altar and touched the lips of Isaiah and cleaned him up. And after he did this, Isaiah was so grateful. He overheard God asking Christ and the Holy Spirit, whom shall we send to this gainsaying, this wicked people who need to be warned and repent? Who will go for us? Isaiah had this attitude since he was so grateful for his salvation. He said, let me get out of the way. Hear, Lord, hear me, send me. And that's the attitude you and I'll have when we see the glory of the Lord. And then we're changed into God's glory as far as our spirituality is concerned. We will say, Lord, let me out there to teach those people and let me warn God's people. Because I realize how far I have come and how far I must take them. Brother Ezekiel was given a book. And God said, Ezekiel, you eat this book. And then you take this book to my people. Take this book to my people and teach them what is in this book. And it was so important until Jeremiah wasn't even permitted to marry. It was so urgent that he carried the gospel of the truth to those people and warned his people. And when Ezekiel's wife died, God said, Ezekiel, you don't even have time to mourn, brother. You get out there and do the work that you're supposed to do. My friends, may I encourage us. Number one, be able to recognize false teaching. Number two, you stand up and warn the false teacher. And you stand in the gap and build it up. And number two, you be so grateful for what God has done for you that you stand for the truth and you carry it into the whole world. If the place where we are goes into apostasy, as so many congregations are doing today, I hope that you, brethren, will be run out of there because of standing for the truth if it goes that far, rather than recant and be lost in eternity. Yes, the future of the restoration movement depends upon each of us. We shall win